Thank you, Sister Penny. Romans chapter 1 this morning. Romans chapter 1 and find verse 8. The Bible says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For where? Where? Where is it revealed? In the gospel. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And then he says, for therein. It's in the gospel that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Heavenly Father, this morning we just ask that you would help all of us, Lord. Help me to preach it and help us all to just be changed by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in the book of Romans, we have already looked at the introduction, the basics of the book, who the human author was who penned it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's Paul. And about when it was written and where and the theme and all of that. And then we started looking at, in the first few verses, we started looking at Jesus Christ. And any time that we begin anything without looking to God, we're in trouble. So we start off right away looking at Jesus Christ. Pardon me. And we look at how God sent him, and he promised him, and he sent him in a body of flesh, and through the power of the resurrection, we know that he is the only begotten Son of God. And now we come to, we've looked at the Savior, okay? We've looked at the Savior, and now this morning, for just a few minutes, I want us to look at one of his servants. We've looked at the Savior, and Paul said in the very, very first verse, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And so he talks about Jesus Christ. Now let's talk about that servant for a few minutes. Let's talk about Paul. Tonight we will get into the first part of the first division of this book. The first division of the book of Romans is man's need for salvation. And we get into the heart of that tonight, about verse 18. But up until then, we just have a few other things to look at. And what I think we need to see this morning are some characteristics of the Apostle Paul. In this passage here, we gain a look into his heart. And we can see a picture of who he was. What made him run? Some people like to say, what made him tick? Okay, what made the Apostle Paul do what he did? We're going to see that this morning. And I think that one of the best ways to learn about a person and learn about their heart, especially in Scripture, is to look at how they pray, who they pray for, what they pray about. Okay? Look at what drove them. You can learn a lot about a person when you look at what is important to them. I might look at you and you might look at me, and we would make assessments and say, well, it seems that these things are important to this person, and so that means that this person is probably this type of person. Okay? And so I want us to look here, I believe the Lord wants us to look here for a few minutes at some of the things that really mattered to the Apostle Paul. Not just so that we would know him a little bit better, because it's Christ that we need to know better. But it's also important to know who it is that he worked through, who he used to pen this book. But I think the main reason that we need to learn a little bit more about the Apostle Paul is because he's an example. Okay? Believers are to be examples to one another. I, as a pastor, am supposed to be an example to you, the flock. All of us, as a part of the flock, are to be an example one to another. Fathers are to be an example in their home. Mothers are to be an example. You might be an example where you work. But we all have a role to play in that somewhere along the line, we are an example to somebody. And the Apostle Paul is no different. He's an example. He was one of God's servants. He was used by God. And so we look at him and we can learn some things from him. Notice, first of all, that everything is centered around Christ. When the book begins, who's he talking about right off the bat? All he says about himself is his name and that he's a servant. And he goes right into who Jesus Christ is. Everything is centered around Jesus Christ. But I want to look at a few things this morning. Pardon me. And the first thing there in verse 8, it says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. I want us to see what encouraged the Apostle Paul. What was an encouragement to him? What made him, what pleased him? What made him happy? What did he like to see? Well, we can see here from verse number 8 that what encouraged the Apostle Paul was the good reputation of others. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. He was thankful to God that when people talked about the believers that were in Rome, they had good things to say about them. He was encouraged that they had a good reputation. However, he was not encouraged by their reputation for their own sakes. He was not encouraged about their reputation because he wanted people to think more highly of them. Look at what the verse says. It says that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. That's what he wanted to see. That's what he wanted people to know and to learn from them, was what they had to say about Jesus Christ. I want you to notice this, that he does not tell us that everyone spoke highly of them. There may have been people who said, boy, you know, those Christians at Rome, they are really on fire. Boy, we need to be more like that. Now, what about those people? Do you think that it's possible that there were people that said, boy, have you heard about those Christians at Rome? All the time talking about Jesus and telling people they got to be saved and they got to put their faith. You think any of that was going on? Oh, I guarantee you there was. Why? Because it's always been going on. And the Apostle Paul said in another one of his letters, he said, Philippians, I believe, when he was in jail, he talked about people who were preaching for contention. He talked about people who were out there preaching, but they weren't preaching with the right motive. They were preaching, he said, supposing to add unto my bonds. Okay? They were preaching to make things worse on Paul. Kind of like, hey, Paul, they're not throwing me in jail. I'm getting away with it. And you know what Paul said? He said that no matter what the motive was, he was glad that Christ was being preached. Because apparently whatever that person was saying was right. Their motive wasn't right, but what they were saying was biblical. And Paul said, as long as Christ is preached. Okay, so I have to believe that there were people who talked about the Romans in a good way. Boy, we need to follow that example. And there are probably people that said, have you heard what's going on in Rome? You heard about that group of Christians? That thing's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Hey, Paul says their faith was spoken of throughout the world. And he said, that's good. I'm encouraged. Listen, people are going to talk about churches. Okay? People are going to have something to say about churches. Somebody's going to have something to say. That doesn't mean that it's always good. Some churches are very ill spoken of, and it's their fault. They've been a bad witness. They've got a bad testimony. They've brought that on themselves. Some churches are spoken of by other believers that say, boy, isn't it great what God's doing down there? And then some people will say every rotten thing they can about a church because God's doing something down there. So see, people could have all manner of things to say about a church. It might be believers talking about how good it is that God's working down there. It might be non-believers who don't like what God's doing down there. And it could be people talking about some bad stuff that's going on down there because the church is out of line. People are going to talk about churches, okay? That's just part of it. We're going to talk about churches, going to talk about Christians. You and I need to make sure, you and I need to make sure that we give them the right thing to talk about, whether they like it or not. We need to make sure that if it's an accusation of foul play or something along those lines, that it can't stick because it isn't true. We need to make sure that if people are talking bad about the church, it's because they're just angry with what God is doing, not because we are a bunch of rascals not living right. Does that make sense? You see what I mean? We need to make sure they're going to talk about us. We got to make sure we give them the right kind of ammo. Now, they might do whatever they want with it, but we got to make sure that the only thing that can be truthfully said about Faith Baptist Church is, hey, they stand up for the gospel. They preach the word. They love people. They want to see people get saved. They tell people how to get saved. They encourage people to grow. Oh, people will make up things. You can't do anything about that. You just trust God to protect you from that. But we got to make sure that what we're giving them is biblical. But he is encouraged by this good reputation, the fact that people are talking about what's going on in Rome. He's encouraged. And this means when he says, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world, he's on missionary trips. Paul's journeying around, going to different cities and churches. So in his journeys, he's hearing about what's going on back in Rome. Word's getting out. Rome was an important place. Word is getting out. And it's good. Look at Matthew chapter 5 with me, please. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Okay? That ought to be one of the things that drives us. We want people to see our good works, see the way that we live. Not to pat us on the back. Don't you pat me on the back. I'm not going to pat you on the back. But so that people will glorify our Father which is in heaven. We do this for Him. And then if you look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. We are to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And people also ought to be able to see that Christians are moderate. Okay, that we're not a bunch of hotheads. That we don't indulge. Also, that we're not lazy and that we're slack, but that we are about the work all the time and that we're moderate in all things. Okay? We ought to have this good reputation. You can go back there to Romans. And the first thing that we saw there was what encouraged him. Let me ask you this morning, are you encouraged by the good reputation of other Christians? Are you encouraged when you see someone else growing, when you see someone else getting the gospel out and being a fellow laborer? Are you encouraged by that? Or do you just not really give any thought to what everybody else in the church is doing? Are you just not really all that concerned with what's, you know, I got my own thing. I just don't, you know, I'm trying to do my own thing here and I'll just take care of me. And well, you see, we're a body. We're a body. And how far would you get if you decided from now on I'm going to look after this hand right here and nothing else? Nothing else is getting washed. Nothing else is getting nurtured. I'm just going to look after that hand. That's it. What's going to happen? The rest of the body is going to suffer. So when you serve Christ, do you look at yourself and say, boy, I'm just going to take care of what I got to do and whatever everybody else, I don't care. Or do you look around at the rest of the body and say, we doing all right? We doing okay? Boy, I'm encouraged that they're out there doing that and they're over doing that. And look how God's using them and I'm going to pray for them. Or are we just me and my little hand. I'm not going to worry about the rest. I'm not going to worry about anybody else. Listen, I preached on this a little bit within the last couple of weeks, within the last 2 or 3 weeks. This isn't an extremely large body, okay? This church that we have here, we're not saying that this is a healthy church, okay? But we're not 500 and 600 people. We're about 50-some people. It's not hard to know what's going on with the rest of the body if you want to know. And by the way, if this hand knows what the other hand and one of the feet are doing but doesn't know what the rest is doing, that doesn't work either. Okay? The body has to work together. We got to work together. Pardon me. And if we're working together and we're looking at what God's doing in one another's lives, we'll be encouraged by that. Boy, it's good to see that. It's good to see that. It's good to see that over there. How are you doing? God, been praying for you. You see, I'm afraid that too often people think that it is the pastor's responsibility to know everybody in the church and have communication with everybody in the church, but everybody in the church, we just take care of ourselves. That's not how a body works. That's not how a body works. We all need to be one body together and encouraging one another and helping to strengthen one another, praying for one another, looking out for one another. And if we do that, we will be encouraged when we see God working in that person's life and that person's life and this person over here, and we'll be praying and working together, and the body will be a lot more healthy and able to do the work that we've been called to do. But Paul was encouraged. He was encouraged at what God was doing in their lives, that people knew that they were saved, that people talked about the saved people at Rome. Are you encouraged by the good reputation of other believers? Or are you so self-centered on your own that you don't really care what's going on with other people? Paul was encouraged at what God was doing in other people's lives. We come to verse 9 there. It says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. We see here in verse 9, we saw in verse 8 what encouraged him. In verse 9 we can see what occupied him. Paul was a man of prayer. Paul has an awful lot to say in his epistles about prayer. a lot to say about prayer. I personally think, now I can't go through and give you all the numbers and everything. I'm just saying in my reading and my study, I personally think that in the New Testament, next to Christ, Paul says more about prayer than any other New Testament writer. I think that next to what Christ said himself in teaching us how to pray, next to him, Paul probably said more about prayer than any other person in the New Testament did. I mean, you just can't read any of his epistles, any of his books, without him talking about what he's been praying for, what we need to be praying for. You want to learn how to pray, you want to learn what prayer in action looks like, read the Apostle Paul. And you just can't get through any of his books without him talking about something he's been praying for, something he's been praying about. But he was a man of prayer. This is what occupied him. He was one who took fellow believers to the throne of grace. Go to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. We're just going to get all kinds of stuff this morning. I'll go ahead and tell you right now. We're just getting all kinds of stuff from one passage here. And that's why we record them, because if you take too many blows and you pass out when you wake up, when you come to, you can go get it off online and get into round two. If it's too much to take at once, you go back and get the rest later. It's kind of like when they came to my house to take my blood, and I almost passed out, and then they had to come back later. I don't care. You shake your head and laugh at me all you want. It ain't natural to stick pieces of metal in people's bodies. Some of you do it for a living, sadist. Listen, what did they have to do? They had to come back later. They had to come back a couple weeks later and get the job done, finish it up then. Well, sometimes that's how the word is. You get so much and you just can't take any more, and then you say, whoa, got to take a break. Then you come back and say, well, okay, round two now. Let's have the rest of it. We got about four or five rounds to get through this morning. So, how about I tell you this, just to put you all in your place. The last time I went to the doctor, they didn't have to use the little baby needles, and I didn't flinch, and I don't think my blood pressure changed at all, and I didn't get a cold sweat, and I did not pass out. So how about that? I didn't look at what they were doing, and I told her not to tell me what she was doing, but I made it through it just fine. So if nobody else is proud of me, I am. And pride goeth before a fall. Are we in Galatians yet, or wherever I told you to go? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I said all that to say this. Next time I'm supposed to give blood, I'm sending one of you in my place. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. He was a man of prayer. He was burdened about what burdened the other believers. He was concerned about the other believers. He cared about the other believers. He took believers before the throne of grace. And church, I'm telling you, too often we get in this habit. We get in this habit of these selfish, self-centered prayers. Lord, here's everything that's going on with me. And too often, we come to the Lord and we sing that old song, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And yes, we are in need of prayer, but too often we come to the Lord and we think, I'm the only one that needs anything, God. Don't worry about the rest of the body. I'm the only part you have to worry about today. I'm the only one that needs anything. Paul says, and this is something that Paul says a lot. He words it like this a lot. He says, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. You'll find that phrase throughout many of his writings. He says, listen, God is my witness. I pray for you all the time. I pray for you all the time. And too often we get down and we pray, Lord, I've got this going on and I need this. And we should take our needs to the Lord and we should rely on him. But if that's as far as you make it, you're missing it. You're missing it. I challenge you this week, when you pray, if you're not already doing so, if you have a need, don't dare mention it until you have prayed for the needs of others. If you don't already pray in that way, if you don't mention, look, if you in your prayer life, you already make it a habit to mention your needs and the needs of others, and you're praying for others, okay. If you're not in that habit, if you're not praying for other people, I challenge you this week not to even pray for anything for yourself until you have mentioned other believers, other people in your prayers. Can I ask you this? Have you ever, don't shake your head yes or no or raise your hand, it's between you and God. Have you ever had one moment of prayer where you have gone through and prayed for every single person in this church by name, or at least by the family? Have you ever had at least one time where you have prayed and you've visualized the church? Because come on, we're Baptists, we're creatures of habit. We all sit in the same spot, okay? Sit in our spot and see what happens. All right? By the way, I noticed something the other day that I thought was very, very sweet and very comforting. And that is, we have one spot in one pew in this church that is worn from the same person sitting there, and it's right over there where Rosalie sits. If you stand up here when this church is empty and look out, you'll only see one spot, and that's right there. That's encouraging. She's not here, so she won't get a big head. As long as Penny doesn't go home and tell her. Year after year after year after year. That's a mark of dedication in that pew. To look out and see all the pews pretty much look the same except right here where Rosalie sits, and you don't notice it unless she's not here or you stand up here through the week or something. Year after year after year after year. So I'm telling y'all, don't sit over there. Y'all sit wherever you want. I'm telling you, I'll throw you out of that spot if you sit over there. She's earned that one. Listen, you ever pray and picture the church? Go through. Yeah, but I don't know what's going on in their life. You don't have to know. Don't you love them? Don't you love them? What do you have to know? You don't have to pray for physical needs and things like that. We're supposed to be praying that one another will be good witnesses, that will grow, that will learn, that will be strengthened. You ever prayed that for other people in the church? I challenge you to do so if you haven't done that. This is what occupied the Apostle Paul, but he was a man of prayer. And he was all the time taking. I'm telling you, this is not the only book where he says, I make mention of you in my prayers without ceasing. He told everybody that. And I don't believe the Apostle Paul just said it. I don't believe it was just one of those things that he said. No, I believe that when he said, I pray for you all the time, he meant, I pray for you all the time. What encourages you? Does the good reputation of other Christians, the fact that people are serving and growing and learning, does that encourage you? It should, and then it'll help you to do the same. What occupies you? Are you making mention of other believers in your prayers? We just read there in Galatians 6:2 that we are to bear one another's burdens. Come on. Life in this sinful world, especially if you don't belong to this sinful world and you don't go along with this sinful world, is tough. This is not an easy place for a Christian to live because it's not home. We don't belong here. It's tough. When we get to heaven, I will not need your help bearing my burdens, and you won't need mine because we will have laid our burdens down. We won't have any burdens. I won't have to help you. You won't have to help me. Here, I need your help. I need your, and I'll just admit it, I need y'all's help bearing these burdens. And whether you want to admit it or not, you need mine and everybody else's, because we all have them, and we're told to help one another with them. But instead, what happens is we're going to be the big, strong, mighty Christian, and we're just not going to, I get it. People say, I don't want to burden you with my problems. Let me have them, okay? There's a difference between somebody just dumping everything on people and being inconsiderate. You know those people, you never ask them how they're doing because they just might tell you. And it's always a big complaint and big. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about just believers sincerely looking after one another. Hey, brother, I'm having a hard time. I need your prayer with this. Could you pray for me with this? Could you pray for this? Would you pray for that? Would you help me in this? I'll help you in that. We can't walk around here thinking, I won't let anybody know I'm human. They already know. We already know that we're all human and we all have these burdens and we're supposed to bear them for one another. We're supposed to help one another. But if we keep everything to ourselves, we're not talking about just dumping, you know, all the laundry out and letting everybody know everything, but we're talking about you got something going on, let people know, let people help. Why would you bear it alone if you don't have to? If you don't have to. Now, we see what occupied him. We see what encouraged him. We see what occupied him. And I don't know. We'll see how far we get. Let's look at what fueled him. What fueled him in verses 10, 11, and then down to 15. Making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. And look at verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. You know, pardon me. We have seen what encouraged Paul and what occupied Paul. Now what fueled him? Paul wanted to see the believers at Rome, but not for fellowship alone. He wanted to see them. He wanted to be around them, but it wasn't just for fellowship. It wasn't because brother Joe haven't been fishing in a long time. Boy, I can't wait to get there and Brother Joe and I go fishing. Or it wasn't because Brother Rodney, they've got a score to settle when it comes to chess. We gotta have a chess game and settle up the score. It wasn't just fellowship. He wanted to see them. He wanted to be near them, but it wasn't just for a time of fellowship. And fellowship is fine, and it's important, and we need it, but it is not why we come together. It's one of those added benefits of us coming together. It's not the main purpose. Churches today are built upon fellowship, and they're not churches. I mean, I just can't tell you how many times I hear and get tired of hearing when you go out and invite people to church. What you got stuff for young people? You got what you got for my kids? You got a youth group? I want my kids to be involved. Hey, you want your kids to be spiritual. You want your kids to learn. You want your kids to grow. You want your kids to know who Jesus Christ is. This is your place. But if what you mean is you want your kids to play basketball and go bowling and eat pizza and have sleepovers, you're going to have to look someplace else. But I have never once had somebody ask me, what have you got? Do you have good, godly men that can encourage my son in the Lord? Do you have good, godly women there that will encourage my daughter in the Lord? Do you preach the gospel alone? Nobody has ever asked me that. They want to know three things. They want to know three things. What have you got for my kids? And the answer is we've got Bible, the same as we have for every person that walks through that door. What kind of music do you have? Which always means, do you have rock and roll? It always means, do you have rock and roll, rap, worldly music. And a lot of women want to know, can I wear pants? Those are the three questions. They do. Those are the three questions. What you got for my kids? What kind of music you got? Can I wear my britches? And then at that point, the spirit has to be stronger than the flesh, because the flesh wants to take the track back and say, never mind, you wouldn't like us anyhow, and walk off. And never has one of those people ever set foot in this place. You got, I say, we preach the Bible. You got stuff from, we preach the Bible. We have a fellowship dinner once in a while, little things like that, but we're not a programs church. We preach the Bible. We're trying to tell people how to be saved. What kind of music you got? We have traditional Christ-honoring music. We make sure that all of our music honors God. Can I wear my pants? We all try to we all try to dress decent and modest and in a Christ-honoring fashion. Those are the answers. That's not what they're looking for. Nobody has ever asked me about what Bible we preach out of. What do we think about the deity of Jesus Christ? Where do we stand on the virgin birth? Are we, when it comes to the rapture, are we post, are we pre, post, mid, this, after, that trib? Are we pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? Are we pre-millennial? Are we, nobody ever asked those things. Why? They're looking for a social club. They're looking for a country club. They're not looking for a church. And there are whole institutions that are built on that. You can get your coffee, you can get your donuts, you can have your rock concert, and you can enjoy it all in the comfort of your Bermuda shorts. And you'll walk out of there just as much a heathen as you walked in. And you've never heard Christ glorified, and you've never heard the gospel preached. And you might as well have gone and spent the weekend at the lake. So you see, fellowship is not a bad thing if it's proper fellowship. But it can be a bad thing if it becomes the only thing, the number one thing, what really matters. I love hanging out with y'all. You're my family. We have a good time. We have our fellowships and everything. We have a good time. But God forbid that be the reason we come through these doors. Paul wanted to go to Rome not just to hang out with the believers or to fellowship with them or be around. He wanted to go. He made it clear right here. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you. Why? Because there were people there who were already saved, and we love to hear it more than anybody else. And there were people there who weren't saved in Rome who needed to be saved. Paul said he wanted to go to them, but he desired to preach to them. Look at verse 11. He says, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. I want to come there and preach so that you'll be stronger, so that you'll grow. And then look at verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I want to come to you, but it's because I want to see you grow. I want to see you learn. I want to help you to be strengthened to be a better Christian. He wanted to teach them something that would make them stronger and draw them closer to God. Look at Philippians chapter 1. You know, it is good the things that a church does for one another. It is. It's good whenever we find out that somebody in the church, or maybe one of our missionaries or an evangelist friend of ours, that somebody has a need. Maybe it's a financial need or something like that. And we step in and help out with that. That's one of the things the church does. That's good. That's good. It's good if we know that there's a that there's a bill that maybe is not going to get paid. If we could step in and help out with that, that's in the book of Acts. That's one of the things the church does. That's one of those secondary things we do, though. That's good. Because listen, if we paid everybody's bills and we filled everybody's pantries and we fixed everybody's car and we patched everybody's roofs and we did all of these things and in the end none of us were any stronger as Christians, any better of a witness, if we weren't any closer to God in fellowship, if we weren't serving Him anymore, we have wasted our time, we've wasted money, we've done nothing. It's all been temporal. So we do those things and that's good and we ought to do those things. But that's not what the important thing is. That's just secondary. The important thing is, are you and I concerned about one another's growth in Jesus Christ? Are we concerned about, hey, are you witnessing? Are you telling people about Jesus? Are you inviting people to church? Are you being a good role model and to your lost family members? Can I help in that area? You need me to pray? I've been praying for you. Pray for me. That's what we're to do. We take the gospel out to the lost and we help to strengthen and encourage and admonish one another to be built up to go out and do the same. To do the same. You've seen those videos of marathons and somebody will get hurt or something and two or three of the runners will go back and pick them up and carry them across the line. You know, they don't just sit down and give them a sandwich and leave them back there. They pick them up and help them across the line. You know, we as believers ought to be, when one of us gets wounded, let's pick him up. Let's pick him up and help get him. We're not talking about salvation, but let's help him stay in the race here. Hey, he got hurt. He fell off by the wayside. Well, I knew he wouldn't last anyhow. We'll remember that when you fall. No, we won't, because that's not the right thing to do. Let's go over and pick him up. Let's pick him up and try to get him. Come on, man. Get back in this thing. Let's get going. Look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul said, hey, I want to go home. Every believer here today says, I want to go home. I want to go. I don't mean you want, it's about time for the sermon to be over and you all are thinking, I'm talking about heaven, okay? I'm not talking about your houses now. Every believer says, oh, I want to go. I long to see my Savior first of all. I'm ready to go. Let's go. Come on. Let's go. It's cold outside. It'd be a good time to go. Let's go. Come on. Going to be another election in a couple years. Be a good time to go. Let's go home. Come on. Paul says, I want to go home. I just want to go home. But then he says, but it's better for you if I stay here. Paul's not boasting. He's saying, my job, my responsibility is to teach you and to help you learn and help you grow and help you be better Christians. He says, I want to go home, but it's better for you if I stay here. He was encouraged by the good reputation of others. He was occupied by prayer. He was fueled by a desire to preach the gospel and help other Christians to grow and to learn and to be who God wanted them to be. And that ought be our desire, to want what is spiritually best for one another. Some people want a pastor who's nice to them, and it's good to have a nice pastor. Some want a pastor who visits whenever they're sick or they're troubled, and that's good. But we ought all be nice to each other, not just the preacher. We ought all visit each other whenever we're sick, not just the pastor. Some want a pastor who will preach the love of God. Because we like hearing about the love of God, don't we? However, when the pastor or the preacher begins to preach on righteousness. And you know, ours is filthy rags. On holiness. Against sin. Or on any other subject that convicts or challenges or offends them. Or when the pastor or the preacher, the evangelist, the missionary, the Sunday school teacher, when he begins to really encourage saints to draw nigh and to serve the Lord more, to tell others how to be saved. Now, all of a sudden, some people, we're not that crazy about him anymore. Just tell me how much God loves me and come see me when I don't feel good. Other than that, stay out of my business. Listen, sometimes people's attitude towards a pastor, a preacher, an evangelist, whoever it might be, is, brother, preach the word, but just the parts we're comfortable with. Just the parts we like. As a matter of fact, we'll tell you what part of the word to preach us. Because we've already scanned this and we know which parts we like and which parts we don't. Just preach the word, but not all of it. The best thing Paul could do for them was not just visit, not just fellowship, not just tell them about God's love. The best thing he could do was to preach and preach exactly what they needed to hear. To tell them what they needed to hear, whether they liked it or not. To tell them the truth of God's word. To be willing to love them enough to offend them. Not to be malicious, but to love them enough to be willing to tell them something that would upset them if they needed to be upset. That's what they needed from Paul. They didn't need another person to come in and tell them how good they were and how wonderful they were and give them a Mr. Rogers sermon. They needed somebody to come in and say, "Thus saith the Lord. I love you. I care about you. I pray for you all the time. I want what's best for you. Here's what God says is best for you. I don't like that. That's too bad. We normally don't, but it's what we need." Paul wanted to go to Rome. I'm going to close with this. I didn't get all the way through this. We'll finish it tonight. Paul wanted to go to Rome. But it wasn't just to fellowship. It wasn't to pat believers on the back. It was to preach to them. He said, "I'm ready to preach the gospel to you. I'm ready to come there and preach." And church, I know I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. If I ever start preaching in such a fashion that says I care more about whether or not you are offended, whether or not you like me, whether or not you're comfortable, you throw me out in that street because I'm not what you need. If I start caring more about people's feelings, and we ought care about one another, but if I start caring more about your feelings than I do God's word being preached, you get rid of me just as fast as we can close the service, because I'm not what you need. And vice versa. I'm asking you, in your relationship with me and with one another, though we love each other and we care about each other and we ought to be thoughtful, and we shouldn't be mean, and we shouldn't be malicious. But we ought to be more concerned with one another's personal growth in the Lord and fellowship with the Savior and service for the Savior. We ought to be far more concerned with that than we are whether or not we're getting along. Now, we ought to get along. We are to be of one accord. There's not to be anything done for strife or vainglory. That's all scriptural. We're to love each other and be good to each other and take care of each other and get along, okay? We are. But our number one motivation in our fellowship with one another shouldn't be to get along, because if it is, we'll keep our mouth shut at times when we ought to speak up. We'll see something in one another's lives where God wants us to open the word and say, "Brother, sister, we need to take a look at this." And we'll say, "Oh, that'll upset them. I better What old Barney Fife used to say, tick a lock. I better tick a lock. Better just... But if we say, I love you, I care about you, I don't want to hurt you, I want what's best for you, and what's best for you is what God says, we're on the right path. We're on the right path. Be good to each other. Don't be mean to each other. But let us not put one another's petty little feelings above the importance of God's Word and encouraging one another in God's Word. That's what matters. That's what we need to be doing here. He was encouraged at their reputation. He was occupied in prayer, and he was fueled by the desire to preach the gospel and to help them grow and to impart some spiritual gift to make them better Christians, to make them better witnesses, to draw them closer to him. I'd ask you this morning, can you find those same characteristics in your own life? We have a few more. We have two more that we'll look at tonight. But for now, can you find those in your life? Paul was an example. He wasn't perfect because he was human, but he was an example. He was a good example. Can we find those things in our lives? If not, they can be cultivated. And it begins with drawing closer to our Savior, and that'll help us love one another and put the right kind of things where they need to be, get our priorities right. We get closer to our Savior, we'll get everything else right. Let's think about those until we meet again this evening. Encouraged by one another's faith. Encouraged by one another's faith. Fueled by a desire to help other people grow and consumed in prayer for one another. Heavenly Father, this morning, we have seen a lot here, Lord. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take it all in and that you'd show us the areas of our lives where we're wanting and where we're not following this proper example, and that you would just convict us and help us to get these things in line. Help us not to let this your word fall upon deaf ears. Help us to be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.